Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey-yo, 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 hey-yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey-hey-yo, hey-yo, hey-yo, hey-yo. And all living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey-hey-yo, hey-yo, hey-yo, hey-yo. Ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be, and we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take ani va nijone go shabotya nijone go shabotya hey hey yo hey yo hey yo hey yo hey hey yo hey yo hey yo hey yo.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kiddushi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Around the chosen one, peace for all people, she was proud to hear, because her grandchildren should not live in fear. Bind me, God. sky. Leader of woman and the ocean tide. Her changing face always measures time. Three sisters growing. Our rhythm, bringing life anew. We thank the nighttime sun. She continues to be watching over her children.
Music from Oneida singer-songwriter Joanne Shenandoah off her Silverwave record CD, Sky Woman. The name of the song was Grandmother Moon. Ashkwe, greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. The song we just featured, Grandmother Moon, represents the special spirit of female energy, which we Native peoples honor. Women's spirit is greatly respected in Indigenous cultures. As many listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, many tribal societies are governed by our clan mothers. Women are the givers of life, and therefore are at the center of our Native principle of caring for seven future generations. Women in Indigenous cultures are often the peacemakers as well as wisdom keepers. In this new millennium, it is ever more important to respect the feminine energy. I think many of the world's problems and injustices would be much less if women's wisdoms and leadership were honored. This is my message for today's program with our special guest, Ann Smith. Ann Smith has devoted much of her life to peace, social justice, and what in English is called women's rights. Ann directs an important project entitled Gather the Women, which she will talk more about. Ann Smith now lives in Southwest Florida, where I've had the pleasure to attend several events hosted by Gather the Women. I first met Ann at the historic 1991 United Nations Global Assembly of Women in the Environment Conference when I was asked to accompany an elder mentor of mine, the well-respected Haida elder and Native leader Dawi Gush, along with a delegation of young Native women. Last year, I reconnected with Ann when she came to a lecture by environmental activist Julia Butterfly Hill, which Yaak Kiddushi Native Center helped bring Julia's speaking tour to Southwest Florida. Ann Smith has traveled to many places of the world working for women's justice. She attended the United Nations Beijing Women's Summit, among other international conferences. We at Yaak Kiddushi Native Center are proud to have Ann Smith as our friend and guest today on Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Welcome, Ann, to the program.
Hello, and thank you for having me on this very important program. I'm excited about bringing the news of Gather the Women, Build the Field. the field in which you and I can meet, no matter what our age, our stage in life, our race, our religion. It's time for the women to come together, to share what we know, to share our resources, our skills, our interests, and build a better world. And that's what we're about. This is not about another conference where we get together and feel good, where we raise our consciousness and then go home and say, wasn't that a good conference? This is a gathering of the women of South Florida to come to dream together and to plan creating action circles that are ongoing related to the environment, economic justice, and peace. And peace, of course, means stopping violence against girls, boys, women, all forms of violence. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know some amazing people are going to be here. I know my intentions for this is that there will be ongoing work and ongoing connections. Already women have been connected around the world. I've attended two World Women's Conferences. The first one was in 1985 in Nairobi, Kenya. And the second one was in 1995 in Beijing, where 50,000 women came together. We sang this amazing song, "We're going to keep on moving forward, never moving back." I met women whose lives were on the line when they went back home, who were from Tibet, who were from Pakistan, who were from Afghanistan, many places in Africa, whose lives were in danger because they are fighting for women's rights and for human rights. I was so inspired by them, but they in turn, it was like going to the well, a place where they could drink deeply for those times in which there isn't water, for which those times in which they felt isolated. And because of the internet, and because of radio, and because of the media right now, there is a means for us to all be connected. And that's what we're about, coming together as the women in South Florida, loving that we live in South Florida. What are the Everglades? Who are we as part of this ecosystem and our own biodiversity? And then how can we reach out to others, both within our community and around the world? And that's what it's about. And so I can't tell you what's going to happen, but we know we want you to be there so that you can be a part of making it happen. And that's the important thing. It's what we together can do, sharing all the resources that we have within us and around us in creating these, what I'll call, ongoing action circles. So after the conference is over on Saturday, it starts Friday night, from 7 to 9, we will gather in a large circle, and we will gather in small circles, so each woman's voice is heard, and she can tell her story, who she is, her gifts. We will close with a Native American lullaby for that evening, so we feel centered, we feel central, that we feel connected. And the next day we will start with gathering the clan together again, then being able to go off to 20 different kinds of what we are calling play shops, from yoga to meditation to women's leadership to all forms that nurture us as women, so that in the afternoon we can form these action circles, which is all based on your own passion plus accountability. It's called open space. It's a wonderful, chaotic means for self-organizing into those areas that you can put your own passion, and therefore when you do that, the energy always stays high.
As a Native American person, I come from a culture that we honor and learn from and respect what in English is called women. In fact, our government, our matriarchies, and even the work that I do as a Native journalist is under the authority and guidance of my clan mothers. And I mention that because it's only, quote, natural, unquote, for me to try to listen and pay attention to what women of the world have to say. Why is it, though, in your opinion, that the so-called mainstream, Western-orientated, white male world seems to be deaf to that concept?
One thing is that women, white women, have enabled that. Not that we wanted that, but we come from a long history of not being equal. we came from, if you go from our English history, we were seen as part of the property. And it's taken a long time to fight for our rights. My good friend, who is Mohawk, she knows an entirely different way of how women were treated. I did not. I had strong women in my life. I knew it was absolutely wrong. I have fought for women's rights ever since I could move. But sometimes I was the only voice. My father understood that I was equal. My brother learned it because I was physically as strong as he was. But our society, the white culture, is very sexist and very racist and created these institutions so that we felt and were treated unequal. Now it's time for us as white women and for us as women of all races is to help the men in our lives to know we do not want to take over. We do not want to be top down. We want to be side by side. And to help eliminate the fear that I think is there. The fear that they will not have a place, that they will not be liked, they'll be missing something, and we need to say no. It'll just be better.
The work that Yad Kiddush Native Center has been trying to do for many years is to build coalitions between what in English is called people of color and mainstream white activists, primarily in the environmental social justice field. And it takes a lot of patience, as listeners to this program know, that sometimes European Americans, Anglo people, coming from a society, are very privileged and perhaps are not yet used to listening to and even respecting people of color points of views and the reality of other people's cultures. Can you talk a little bit about white privilege and perhaps how women in North America and Europe might work on learning to have a little bit more respect and appreciation and attention to the concerns and views of women of other cultures, other colors?
Two things I like to talk about. One was the conference that was in 1985 in Nairobi, Kenya. Many issues would come up, and finally, the African women, and I will say the women from all of the Southern Hemisphere, said to European and North American women, shut up. We work in very different conditions. You do not come here and have all the answers. And when we started to listen, we could see that we had some of the same issues, but the women in the Southern Hemisphere were doing so much more with so few resources that it put us to shame. As a white culture, European, North American, we have more than our share. We have incredible privileges, and there is a wonderful study that was done by Peggy McIntosh called White Privilege. She started out at Wellesley College looking at racism, which is always, when you look at the isms, it's an imbalance of power. It's always power, and it's institutionalized. So you can take a bias, and then you can take it into a stereotype, and then with power, you've got racism, you've got sexism. She started with the racism, and then she says, oh my goodness, now I really need to do sexism. Now I need to do the white privilege. She has a series of exercises like, just go with your friends. And I've traveled a lot with, in doing women's leadership, with black friends, Native American friends, Asian, Latino. If I'm in New York City, they say, Ann, you go get the cab. A cab will stop for me. I go into a restaurant, the restaurant maitre d' will come to me. I know I can get into any place, anywhere in the world, only because of the color of my skin. I can write a check. No one's going to question it. But I need to look around and see how my sisters and brothers of other races are being treated. Because it's entirely different. They're looked at as suspect. They are not given the same privilege as we are. And that's my role, and I believe the role of white people is to start unpacking that privilege. To say, hey, wait a minute. You just ignored my friend. Wait a minute, why aren't taxis stopping? Wait a minute, why is somebody being treated? Wait a minute, why is there a wage discrepancy? That's what we have to do. And when we do that, then we will all win. Because right now, we're all going to lose unless that gets unpacked.
Mm-hmm. White is a tool that was made by a nation to justify slavery and colonization. Divide up the world into an us and the them, the primitive animal savage and the civilized human. Race is a story we're told, embedded deep in the brain. They call it natural order, but it's socially ingrained. Systematic exploitation by division of the people into some were made as slaves to serve the ones created equal. First thing they conquer is their own people's minds. The colonizers, the first one to be colonized. We're born with pale skin and they tell us we're white. Playing some limp in darkness and this child will walk in light. What color is God in our pictures? And what is the color of sin? If two came to your door, one pale, one dark skinned, who'd be the first one that you would let in? Shame his head, guilt tries to run. Complicity demands we undo what's been done. Name our history, find the courage to rise. Shout it out loud with bold, angry cries. No more white lies. We're the wealthiest nation on earth, so they say. Where did this wealth come from? So the labor of slaves, all those who suffered and toiled and died, feeding the hunger of rich white man's pride. Who works in our orchards, who picks our fine crops, who sweats in our sweatshops, who pushes the mops, who rots in our prisons for the crime of their skin, who dies in our wars so that others can win. Who lived here before us, and who stole their land, and who are the heroes of Custer's last stand? Who wrote the history books, who makes the rules, and who mines the ore for the master's own tools? Head, guilt tries to run. Complicity demands we undo what's been done. Name our history, find the courage to rise. Shout it out loud with bold, angry cries. No more white lies. Well, I am not racist, many white folks have said, but racism's not just a thought in your head. It's the privilege we wield when we walk down the streets and don't have to fear each white cop that we meet. It's the power we're handed from the moment of birth, where we're told our pale skin is our measure of worth. Colorblind is a code word for the problem's not mine, 'cause white folks got the privilege to say everything's fine. It's in the history of our families and the stories that we bear. It's in the small subtle perks along the way that got us there. It's all the shit we never went through, all the pain we never felt. It's in the stacked deck of cards and the hand we were dealt. You know you used to be Irish or Italian or Basque. Call up your grandma if you can and just ask. We traded history for power, tradition for slaves. Feared our pride with the bodies and the unmarked graves. Shame hangs its head, guilt tries to run. Complicity demands we undo what's been done. Name our history, find the courage to rise. Shout it out loud with bold, angry cries. No more white lies. So who's really to blame? It's not easy to say. And of course those in power want to keep it that way. This trouble runs deep to the core of our souls. We were formed by the power that our ancestors stole. Is it the structure of the person that keeps racism alive? Well, it's both, and they're nourished by the great white lie. We gotta struggle on the inside, gotta struggle on the out, 'cause struggling together is what solidarity is about. Shame hangs its head, guilt tries to run. Complicity demands we undo what's been done. Name our history, find the courage to rise. Shout it out loud with bold, angry cries. No more white lies. No more white lies. No more white lies. No more white lies.
Music from two young activist friends of mine, Ethan Miller and Kate Boverman, off the music collective Riot Folk. The name of that song was entitled White Lies, bringing up the subject of white privilege and the need to eradicate this colonial Anglo mindset. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. My guest today is Ann Smith, a nationally respected peace, social justice, and human rights activist. Ann is director of Gather the Women Project and is a personal friend to us here at Yad Kiddushi Native Center. The other evening, we had the pleasure of attending a presentation by one of my heroes of the planet, Julia Butterfly Hill. I was very moved to hear Julia, as I always am. One of the beautiful messages she said that I heard was the importance of trying to first dream and then envision the world we want to live in, and to try to live that in everyday life as much as possible, and to really reflect and understand that even what some people in English call the little things, like saying hello, giving a smile to someone, opening the door for an elder, is just as important as talking about the destruction of Mother Earth or nuclear war, that everything is really of importance. And as Native people, we understand that very well. Really reflecting a lot on this understanding of really not having judgment, but just trying to work on things through love and with peace and through inner understanding of how to dream what kind of world you want. What is your thoughts on this? How do we, on an individual as well as collective level, begin to change the world and dream a world? Because sometimes those of us at Yad Kiddushi Native Center and perhaps yourself are labeled as activists, and I'm not sure I always like that term. But one of the problems that I see that a lot of activists do is always kind of shouting out what's wrong out there and a lot of the negatives. And these things are important for people to hear and wake up to. Unless and until we, as quote activists, begin to also present other alternative views and other alternative ways of implementing our visions and dreams, I don't think things will really change. Do you have any thoughts on what I'm speaking about now?
When we dream together, and dreams are positive, they're not nightmares, the energy stays positive. If we focus on problems, we have problems. If we can move towards the light of the dream together and have collective dreams, and then say, I'll do this because this is what I like to do, you'll do this because this is what you like to do, and we honor that. And we may start small, in a small community of, say, 6 or 7, or 20 or 30. And I believe we can be spirit-filled activists, entirely different than that political which has separated us or seen one as better, power over, however that's used. But when it is the Creator guiding us, when we see ourselves as that oneness with one another and the Creator, the magic happens. Mm-hmm. If we believe that and live that out, there's no stopping us, because it's fun, it's refreshing. I don't go home getting beaten up. I go home feeling loved. You go home feeling loved. We know that we are one and we're doing something important. It's an entirely different way of working from the old way, which is one up, one down, you, other. And that's what the message Julia Butterfly Hill gave for me also. The other is me, and I am the other. Sidney Poitier said at the UN conference that I attended in South Africa on racism, saying after he heard story of all the pain around racism, we are 99.9% the same DNA. It's that small little percentage that makes that's causing all the trouble, which should cause all the celebration, not cause, create a celebration that makes us unique. And when we can say, I use the Tibetan phrase every time I sign off on email because it's high tech, with the word namaste. The Creator in me, the divine in me, greets the divine in thee, in you. And when we truly believe that and talk on a heart-to-heart, level and listen on a heart-to-heart level, we can make our dreams come true. I know that.
As you were speaking a few moments ago, one of the thoughts that came into my heart was the importance of prayer and of looking at one's life and, quote, activism as part of ceremony and spirit work, which automatically refers to, in my thought, as a form of spirituality. Indigenous people still maintain a lot of our spiritual ways of life, our ceremonies and our connection to Mother Earth and Father Sky, the great mystery, Kinawamatakus, and all of our relations. I'm very troubled living in North America now in the new millennium, 2005, and in the last century, of why it seems so many people, especially the so-called dominant Western European American society, has kind of lost much of their spirituality and have kind of taken on the covering of religion, which to me is kind of an institutionalized system. It's not so much a spirit-based or prayer or ceremonial-based system, but is some form of something that's very different. Would you talk about spirituality and how that is different from the context of religion?
What I would like to do is talk about how spirituality and religion should be the same, because I am Celtic, Anglican, pagan, and the Celtic religion that Christianity from Rome tried to wipe out is what I believe all of us who are Christians are trying to bring back, who believe in a spirit-filled way of living our life. And whether it's the energy of the Christ energy, the Buddhist energy, the Creator energy, whatever you want to call spirit, the chi, that's what connects us. That's, to me, what is spirituality. And I am my most spiritual self when I am fully me. Could be in dance, song, but I'm fully me without ego. And I allow you to be fully you in that setting. When there is a ritual that allows that to happen, when there is a ceremony that allows that to happen, not to say one is better than the other, not to say that it has to be done one way, but a ceremony that honors all of us in, of all creation, one of all, a part of all creation, then we have a new religion. We have a religion that does not discriminate and put down others. And there's nothing now that separates us more than this religious dogma and politicizing that is having people kill one another, call people names. How can we be a part of this amazing creation and not be one? How can we wake up in the morning and see the sunrise and feel like we have the answers to anything? Except for that we're in a process in which the Creator is the process that keeps us humble and united. It took me a while to accept that I can be a Christian, because Christianity has done many awful things. But I am a Christian because that's my heritage and that's my belief system. But I'm a pagan. Pagan means close to the land. Pagan means you love the land. And my heritage is both Norwegian and English. And I honor that. And I want to find out more. I love the goddess religions that we're rediscovering before patriarchy. I love learning about that and going through those different ceremonies and bringing them back that connects me to the land and to you and to one another. That's what spirituality is for me. And there is such a yearning to be connected. There is such a yearning. There is a spiritual movement, and the women's movement started out as a political movement. The women's movement, as I'm involved in it, is a spiritual movement. And that will transform ourselves and, to me, the whole world. Hey, 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 oh, 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 hey, 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 hey
Question to you, my friend, is about hope for the future. And as we think about this subject, I have to remind myself about the current times, the present times, the world we live in, with so many millions of people suffering hunger, malnutrition, poverty, a lot of the ecological destruction that's happening to all major ecosystems on the planet. I know you had the opportunity to attend the UN World Summit on Sustainable Development, the Johannesburg 2000 Conference, which our radio program has done a lot of focus on and reporting about, and is an area of sustainability that we try to educate people on as well, especially from an indigenous people's perspective, like the Carioca Declaration and the Kimberley Declarations on so-called sustainable development. My question, as you talk about hope for the future, is also the context of the situation that many of the world's poor, poverty and hunger and environmental degradation. Would you share your thoughts about your time at WSSD and answer that also about hope for the future?
It was both a disappointment and it was also illuminating for me to be there. The disappointment was that the United Nations was creating a lot of partnerships, and the partnerships were with big business. And some of the good information, some of the good news was that, you know, big business, good business is now going to have to be new forms of energy. Everybody knows that. So looking at alternative energy was very exciting. They had to relate it and connect it to the economic system and how that is devastating, especially the continent of Africa. Africa has never been as poor in its entire history, which is the history of humankind. So that's the disappointing thing, is that it's still driven by profit. You know, there's a triple line. There's profit, environment, and people. Triple bottom line, that's what it's called. Now, if that truly happens, then we won't have the poverty. We won't have the economic degradation. We have everything in place through many, many documents, and you've already mentioned some, and I love the Earth Charter. And there's the Platform for Action document for that's on women. If the governments were to truly carry this out, there will be hope. I already believe in the hope. I am a hopeful person. The documents are in place. It's now up to us as we, the people. We have to say no more to the poverty, no more to the environmental degradation. We have to say no more. We have to say enough. We have to make our government accountable. We must make the businesses accountable, and we can do it. I believe in the Saul Alinsky organizing, who started in this country all of the trade, all of the unions. You take that and say, he was wonderful in saying there are no such things as permanent enemies. And we begin to organize. And when we organize, we bring the young people. Because the young people can truly vision a whole different way of doing things than you and I can't many times because we lived the old way through those institutional isms. They haven't as much. And we help pave the way, we help empower them, and they're going to create that new world, that brave new world that will be, there'll be enough for all. I believe that. And they're amazing. They're going to have the education, they'll have the technology, we have the networks, we have the support system. And now when we wake up the hearts of humankind, which is our role, enough of the destruction. It's time to rebuild and create something new. It's going to happen.
Yes.
I believe in the human spirit. I believe that the human spirit will say, we want it differently. And it's going to happen.
Yo la he querido tanto y la sigo queriendo. Pero por otras sufro y me desespero. Pero por otras sufro y me desespero.
Por ti sufro, señorita linda.
Pero por otras sufro y me desespero. Pero por otra sufro y me desespero.
¡Oh! Con sentimiento es una canta para toda la gente del caballo.
You are listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yatkidichi Native Center is an intertribal culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yatkidichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their worldviews in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yatkidichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yatkidichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yatkidichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yatkidichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yatkidichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yatkidichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yatkidichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yatkidichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yatkidichi's Kinonwatakusin Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yatkidichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Please write us for our catalog of audio tapes available for purchase. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yatkidichi Native Center, write to Yatkidichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yatkidichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
The music you heard prior to our Yatkidichi Native Center program identification featured the Andean band Runa Pacha from their recording Cry of the Winds. The name of the song was Tulumantillo, traditional music from what's now called Ecuador. Earlier, we played Dene Navajo, Todi Nish Z Singers, off their Kenyan record CD, Dancers of Mother Earth. The song we featured was the title song, Dancers of Mother Earth. Well, dear friends, we are nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. I want to again thank today's program guest, Ann Smith, for sharing her thoughts with us on Wolf Mountain Radio. Yadkinishi Native Center welcomes your comments or questions about our programs. Please feel free to email us at yadkinishi@earthlink.net. Once again, our email is yadkitishie@earthlink.net. Listeners can learn more about the work of Yadkinishi Native Center by visiting our website, www.yadkinishi.org. Once again, listeners can learn more about the work of Yadkinishi Native Center by visiting our website, www.yadkitishie.org. In addition to our programs and projects descriptions, our website's links page lists a number of excellent organizations with their website for further information and ways in which you can become active in protecting Mother Earth and supporting the rights of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. We shall conclude today's broadcast with a woman's honor song, the Woman's Fancy Shawl Song from the drum High Noon, off their Canyon Records CD, Songs for Our People. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kenan Wantakwasin, to all of our relations.